Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I, Yehovah, search the heart. I try the kidneys, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Do we earn heaven? Is heaven a reward? In the lesson, the dragon's people shouted, "It's a lie! Works done for the sake of salvation are merit-seeking." But if heaven isn't meant to be our goal, what are we doing here? Why does the word so often speak of heaven as a reward? Let's consider what heaven is like. We tend to think of heaven in terms of external delights and pleasures. Without the heavenly doctrine, we'd probably fit right into one of the groups of people Swedenborg met who imagined heaven to be talking with friends, enjoying sports, parties, good food and drink, lovely surroundings, eternal beauty and vigor, even wealth and power. The Lord reassures us that we can have most of these things in heaven, but he also teaches us that these pleasures are not the heart and soul of heaven's happiness. The essence of heaven is delight in being a useful person. For angels, the main delight is not in earning others' approval by their uses. Rather, they find it rewarding to work in a really worthwhile, productive endeavor where they can see good results coming to other people through their labors. Angels know their uses come from the Lord and not from themselves. And they are glad because it shows that they're really doing the right things. They don't want credit most of the time. In fact, they are indignant if someone praises them for their good works. Focusing on merit would take their focus off their uses. It would turn them away from the Lord and interfere with really helping others. They think it's wonderful that the Lord can use them in his work, and in such a way that they feel like they're doing it themselves. And they enjoy the satisfaction of a good job well done. That is the kind of reward the Lord wants to give to each of us, the most rewarding situation possible. But since we don't start out enjoying such completely unselfish service to others, the Lord leads us toward heaven by means of the things we enjoy now. He emphasizes in his word that heaven includes beautiful mansions, eternal youth and strength, and so forth. He knows we need to feel we deserve credit and reward for all our hard work and sacrifice, all the good, kind things we do, the time we put in, the money we donate, the struggles we make to keep his commandments and turn away from evils as sins. So he speaks of heaven as our reward, which we can earn by good works. And behold, I am coming quickly to give to each one as his work shall be. Then gradually, if we are looking to him, he leads us to find enjoyment in our uses, at home and at work, with our fellow human beings. The doctrine says, those who are not yet fully regenerated cannot do anything else than think of reward. Cannot. Because the good they do not do from an affection for good, but from an affection for bliss and happiness, for the sake of self, and at the same time, from the fear of hell. Reading further, in the beginning, all who are being reformed suppose that good is from themselves, and therefore, through the good they do, they merit salvation. But those who allow themselves to be regenerated do not confirm this in their thought. But rather, this feeling of merit is gradually dissipated. For when the external man with its lusts is removed, the internal man begins to operate. That is, the Lord inflows through the internal man with the light of intelligence, and thus enlightens the external man. Then he begins to believe differently, and does not attribute merit to himself, but to the Lord. To assume unconsciously that we deserve credit for our good works doesn't hurt, as long as we don't confirm in our minds the idea that we ourselves are good and deserve a reward. If we are trying to obey the Lord's commandments, both not to do evil and to love our neighbors as ourselves, then the Lord will gradually lift us up out of the love of merit. The heavenly doctrine says, stop asking within yourself, what are the good works I must do, or what good must I do that I may receive eternal life? Only abstain from evils as sins, and look to the Lord, and the Lord will daily teach and lead you. Wonderful! The Lord will daily teach and lead us what to do. The word does not say, don't think about whether or not your life is leading to heaven. The hope of heaven is an essential part of believing in God. Heaven is the Lord's promise to us. We should be thinking about eternal life more often than we do. We can aim to go to heaven without confirming the idea that we are earning heaven by our good works. The writings say, thinking and believing that good works ought to be done in order that anyone may come into heaven is not regarding reward as the goal, and therefore it is not placing merit in works. For even those who do good from the Lord both think and believe this, that good ought to be done so that a person may come into heaven. But don't we earn heaven by good behavior? No. All our good thoughts, motivations, ideas, willpower, skills, and accomplishments are all from the Lord. No one is good but one, that is, God. To claim credit is to steal from the Lord and to shut him out of our lives as if we don't really need his help. Nevertheless, it's true that we cannot come into heaven unless we cooperate with the Lord by acting well instead of badly. The choice is ours to make, because the Lord gives us life as if it were our own. We must therefore compel ourselves to resist what is wrong and do what is right. In that very effort, the Lord is with us, forming for us a new heavenly character. Swedenborg met some people who had made it a principle not to compel themselves in any way, but just remain passive, since all good comes from the Lord. They were among the more useless in the next life, since they had no mind of their own and allowed themselves to be influenced by the evil as much as by the good. The Arcana Celestia adds this encouraging note. With those who compel themselves to do what is good, present within them is a willingness and a freedom, which is the source of and the reason for their self-compulsion. That is, they compel themselves for the reason that they may obey the things the Lord has commanded and that their souls may be saved after death. And within these motives, a still greater reason is present, though the person himself is not aware of it, namely, they compel themselves for the sake of the Lord's kingdom, and even for the Lord himself. When we compel ourselves not to do evil, but to do what is good for the sake of being saved, then, although we don't realize it, a deeper motive is that we may serve the Lord's kingdom and thus serve the Lord himself. For when we are seeking to go to heaven, we are acknowledging the reality of heaven and of the Lord Himself who gives us eternal life. We are willing to give up a certain amount of immediate self-gratification in order to obey Him in the hope that He will save us. The more we obey Him, the more He removes that selfish motivation and replaces it with the sheer joy of useful service. We can be so grateful to the Lord for sorting out this problem for us, helping us find the way in between meritorious works on the one side and a life has nothing to do with salvation attitude on the other. He gives us this simple formula: evils must not be done because they are of the devil and from the devil. Goods must be done because they are of God and from God. These must be done by a person as if from himself, but one must believe that they are from the Lord with the person acting in him and through him. True Christian Religion, number 3. Let's focus our thoughts on obeying the Lord and in this way going to heaven. We need not worry that we aren't good enough to earn heaven. No one ever earned heaven except the Savior himself. We must simply work on our bad habits one at a time and ask him to help us, and we will notice a gradual change. The more we try to live a good life, the more clearly we will see that goodness, intelligence, and happiness cannot come from ourselves, but from the mercy of the Lord. The Lord says to us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.